for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Warm Down. Today, joining me is one of my Scouse mates.
Your only Scouse mate. A mate.
Come on. A Scouser's joining me. I do, son.
Good. Really good. Pleasure to be here. Hey. I've crossed the divide.
Well, I cross it.
You do it fairly often.
I do.
So I thought I'd return the favour.
Yeah. So, welcome to the Republic of Mancunia. Mm. There's duty free and all that shit on the way out. So, fill your boots, like.
Yeah, I'll get filled up on
Vimto and that. And,
yeah, and then cheap plonk would be great.
Like. Are you enjoying the World Cup?
No.
Really?
That's all right. No, I'll be honest.
I'm fucking loving it.
You know what? I always say, I get to every major tournament and I always try with the World Cup to watch every game. And I think to some extent life's got in the way a bit more this time than normal, but I don't know, I think there's been some thrilling part. I was buzzing with it. Normally it's the last group games when I reach football saturation, but I think I'm kind of reaching it.
Oh my God.
Already? You know, but you know, you put, I can't say that there's not many games that I've watched fervently, you know what I mean? Like, you know, desperately keep watching every kick of the ball. There's been a few, and the ones I have, this is why, by the way, because the games that I've chosen to give my full attention to have been shite.
What I'm finding is the 1 o'clock kickoff has been the worst match, and I don't know if that's a time zone, get yourself going in the day sort of thing from us, from the players. Mm. I don't know what it is, or if it's like when they was picking out which games to put on TV, the ones that they thought might be not the greatest, they put on the early ones. I don't know what it is.
That doesn't bode well for England, Panama, then, does it?
Is that an early? Is that an early dart? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. To be fair, like the one I think it's just. I mean, I've not really thought of it that way, but I went for the Egypt Russia game, and look, there were goals, but it wasn't an amazing game. There was the other. In fact, I watched both of Egypt's games, and they've both been pretty terrible.
Wonder why I was watching Egypt game.
No idea. Hoping to be able to talk about Mo Salah doing amazing things and get loads of views.
Russia have impressed me.
Yeah, well, Russia have been sticking the ball in the back of the net, which just makes them stand out. The problem is that I think there was. We had a couple of really good early games in the Spain-Portugal stuff, particularly. That was the one that everyone went, the World Cup! Ah! And I think everyone's still dining out a little bit on that and a bit on Russia. And look,
I really enjoyed Iran-Spain, though. That was a nail-biter.
I missed that one. So, but the amount of
and
games...
Who'd have said that at the start of the tournament? Wait till Iran-Spain, lad. Yeah. You've been like, go fuck
that
yourself.
Be the one. But the amount of games that have been decided by a goal...
Or a VAR.
By VAR.
That's unfortunate.
I think I'm just hoping that maybe the last round of group games, everyone just goes for it. There might be a few of the games where the teams are just done and dusted, or maybe there's a few of the teams that know they're out, so they just think, oh, go ahead, I'll go for it. And maybe they're the teams that have put the handbrake on some of the opponents to some extent.
Possible. I think it's shaping up that a couple of the groups are really way more in the balance than you expected to be. And I think it's going to be an interesting one. The second round, obviously, with I think Russia are going to be a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons in that knockout stage. Yeah. I think with what happened with Colombia, now you're looking at the likes of Senegal possibly going through.
I think Senegal to go through. I think they've got.
No wonder why.
another one, yeah. I think there's a few things. What's great about it, and why it has been a good World Cup, just to bring it back, is that everyone picked how the World Cup's going to go, and it was like, well, it's going to be Spain pissing their group, it's going to be Germany pissing their group, it's going to be Brazil pissing their group.
Nope.
No! And that's good, you know, ultimately, because there is a little bit of that where, look, it'll largely even itself out. By the time you get to the quarterfinals, it's going to be pretty much the usual suspects.
Yeah, I think when I was doing my predictions, when you get to there's a lot of like, oh, in the semi, in the round of 16, but that largely gets filtered out by then. Now, that's where an upset's going to happen, I think, is in the round of 16 where you go, oh, they're winning that. No. Yeah. And it might be through a VAR, I think, especially the way it's gone.
And you're right, because that's the difference there, is those close games all of a sudden. I wonder whether it has an effect on how you approach it, because all of a sudden you can defend back to the wall for 89 minutes, you pull on someone's shirt, as you've been doing for the entirety of your career. Someone goes down, referee calls for VAR.
Not in Harry Kane's case.
Or not in England's case, like, because nobody likes
that. That was
England.
A mad one, actually. When I've actually digested that a little bit and thought, hang on, the way VAR's pulled up for some pretty iffy stuff, and they've been really conclusive in, like, that's definitely a penalty. We've seen, like, handballs that really weren't deliberate. Mm-hmm. It's a penalty.
It makes you wonder what they're watching, because, I mean, there's that many screens there, and because of the way the camera was, were they looking at the instance that were nearer to the screen? You know what I mean? Like, have we noticed Harry Kane getting bundled to the floor because the English commentators are all looking at Harry Kane? Whereas if you're watching the video, because the thing is, people have this wrong concept of how VAR works, that we call for it when something happens.
No, it's always running.
They're literally watching the game, and when they notice something and go, ref,
they've pulled it back late sometimes as well, haven't they? Like, it's gone up the other end of the pitch, it's gone out for a throw-in, it's restarted, and he's gone, oh, hang on. And you're like, now? Really well, now?
Yeah, fine. You know, if they get it right, who's asked, really, whether the play goes on? As long as someone doesn't stick the ball in the back of the net and you don't have to deal with that heartbreak of you've basically had to disallow a goal for an incident that happened 40, 50 seconds or whatever earlier. But they get it right.
But even the you didn't see it, did you? But the Iran goal, when they scored against Spain, there was 30-40 seconds of celebration, yeah. And they'd already sort of started pulling it back before they, and you're like, the guy was like crying in tears at scoring the goal, and like, oh, he's going to be crying in a second when they rule this out. And it was the correct decision, but you're like, I don't know why the referee has to go and review it, because he doesn't like ask for the ins and outs when a linesman flags, does he? He just believes him.
Well, because you've got to maintain the illusion that the ref is the most important person on the pitch. You know, so the referee's got to be the guy who says yay or nay. You know what I mean? Because he is the front-facing person who holds together the rules of the game.
But if a liner flags and goes, that was offside, he takes his word for it.
Yeah, oh, no. It's a strong point. Like, but there's also the referee can overrule the linesman based on his own stuff. Now, of course, you don't see him overrule an offside very much, but ultimately, that's what it is. But what it does boil down to, there's plenty of instances where the goals given where the linesman goes, I think this, and the referee goes over and goes, actually, no, mate, I'm not going to take your say on it. So I get it; it's fine.
Can they not still do that in the rear? And he'll go, Paul, yeah, that was handball, mate. And you go, are you sure? And he'll go, it's well bad, mate. And you go, all right, no goal.
Well, maybe they will get to that, but maybe that's something we'll see phased out as it goes along. I don't mind now, because it helps with the whole showing people what's going on with it, I guess. It's a good point. I'll be honest, it's not something I'd overly considered. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll gain a trust.
If that's how it goes to, I'm not really going to have a drama with it. What I don't like is I'm obviously a rugby league fan. Rugby league spontaneity is...
I don't know what that is.
It's the proper rugby that we play up north.
No, the fair rugby.
The what?
We don't have that in the...
Just a bit out though, you do. Loads of it. Shit loads of it.
Big fields between us and you.
Yeah, so. And they're filled by people playing rugby league. Mostly. Wigan, Warrington, St. Helens. Fucking mad for
Absolutely.
So,
Liverpool play a lot of reserve games. Shit,
Basically, in that little bit in between them, there's loads of rugby being played, okay, and cool. A load of the excitement of tries being scored has been eliminated by what's normally given is checked now.
Yeah.
And they go to the screen and you're like, if this is an under-16s game, you have a screen to go to and you're not going to it. It's just given. You don't go, let's look four passes backwards and just pull it up four passes ago.
We're tearing sports though, aren't we, across the board? You know, they did it in cricket, they did it in tennis, rugby, you know, they do it
It's not a case of like making it different for the elites. It's different anyway. The fact that you've got 30,000, 40,000 people watching, it's different regardless. But it's not a case of, if they can't do it on Ackney Marshes, let's not have it, because 9 times out of 10, it's someone's fucking dad running the line in one of them. So let's not pretend that you've got professional linesmen and stuff there anyway. It's more of a case of... It's more of a case of the fact that I think that they're going to take away a lot of what makes football football. Think of some of the goals that you've seen in your life, yeah? Think of some of those explosions, and can you imagine now that you... Imagine some of those memories that you've got get taken back, and instead of it just being, it's a goal, it's a... Let's look at the screen.
Well, no, we saw, you know, Liverpool played West Brom in the FA Cup this year, we had VAR, it was an absolute disaster. You know, I mean, ultimately it worked out for slightly better for West Brom than it did for us on the day, even though we got decisions too. But it was the whole process was horrendous because of the stop. There was like a 5 or 6 minute break to check something. Well, what are you doing?
One matter against Huddersfield, so they draw a fucking wobbly line on the screen, which isn't precise.
The one that was in line, there was one was in line with the markings on the pitch, but it was.
It was out into the grass.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then the line, we're talking about precise things here, especially when it's offsides. One matter's knee cap is slightly ahead of this 10-inch wide line that you've drawn with your pen across the screen. But you can't see. Like, you're going to have to start rewriting the laws of football because is it offside? Now, we say he's offside when he's played the ball. Well, is that when he's leather... touches the ball or when it leaves his foot, like
the think about the interpretations. There was there any part of your body that you can play the ball with? Yeah. If that's offside, then you're offside. But now it's been altered to you've got to actually, the ball's got to reach you.
But like when you go back to, so we see we think we've got the frame where the player's played the ball. At the moment, his kneecap's off by half a centimetre. But how do we know without zooming right in and seeing 60 frames a second, 120 frames a second on the ball being played? Yeah. When do we know that the ball was played? Because that's going to now be the fine margins between whether it was on or not.
My big fear is not even all that anymore, because I think they've settled down a lot of the VAR stuff. It delayed a lot of my fears. It's more that it's just going to be a bit boring. You know, like, it's just these games, it's not me. Maybe it's adding a bit of tension, but I think we'll get bored of the drama of a last-minute penalty winning it, because what you're just going to have, when you show things in slow motion, it always looks worse. Mm. I've seen so many red cards look 10 times worse, or yellow cards look like red cards, or whatever, look so much worse. Let me give you an example, you'll probably laugh at it because I'm bringing it back up again, but Mane getting sent off against City for kicking Ederson in the face. Like, it's... in slow motion, it looks like GBH. Like, it looks like the worst thing you've ever seen. But in the heat of it, in full flight, you can see it's a mistake. You know what I mean? It's not a malicious attempt to kick someone. Whereas you watch it back, it just looks like he's walked up. He's flying.
One that arguably cost us in the Champions League in 2013 when Nani was given a second yellow. But he's watched the flight of a ball. He's put his foot out to control it, and someone's run into his foot standing there. Is VAR going to change that?
But that's the thing. The thing is, and I guess we'll cross this bridge when we get to it in terms of footy, but for every time you bring a new ruling in, it's just a fair game for the Sam Allardyces of this world to find a way to game it, to give them a modicum of advantage. So you change the offside rule, and what does it mean? What does it lead to? It leads to Kevin Nolan standing on the goalkeeper's toes because offside stopped being everywhere. You had active and passive, and active and inactive. Second, you allow people to stand in an offside position but not be given offside automatically. You opened it up to people to abuse it. And what you're going to open it up to is, if this becomes a trend, then you're going to have people working on their gamesmanship to get fouled in the box in the last minute, because you're almost certainly going to get a penalty. Mm. The odds of penalties is just going to go.
Have we actually seen anyone go to review and not give it?
That's a good question, actually.
I don't think we have, because I think everyone...
I feel like we have, but I couldn't give you any.
I think everyone I've seen has been given and not been overruled. So I wonder if what we said earlier in terms of Paul, that's... So he goes, I'll go review it.
Yeah.
And maybe he only goes... Maybe they're saying in his ear, I think you need to look at that one. And he's gone, you have a look at it for me. And they've gone, I probably wouldn't give it. Yeah. And he's gone, fine, we're not having it then.
Yeah, what you've got to do is, mate, if you think it's a pen, you've got to turn around to face that camera behind you and say, hi, my name is Fred Bloggs. I am the VAR referee and I endorse this penalty because I'm not taking any shit if you've got this wrong, mate. That's what it needs to be.
Yeah, and then he goes over and reviews it. And when they're reviewing them, because even the ones that you've gone to review and you've gone, oh, I'm not giving that, I'll give it.
It's true. I mean, yeah, you're right. If ultimately every single one is going to be given, then you're right. What's the point?
Yeah, and I think you're right. People are going to be starting gaming it all over the place, and it's going to be interesting to see where that leads. No, not good, but it's going to be interesting.
We might get some frigging penalties if we got VAR. It's good. Well, we had two penalties last season. Ridiculous.
I don't know how many we had. We didn't feel like a lot.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
Right then, so talk to us about. Let's talk about Fan TV, because. Mm. you lot was the first ones, weren't you? You was the ones that opened this fucking Pandora's box that we now have.
Yeah, there was nothing there. We were the ones. Yeah, I'm sorry, by the way. I apologise. Indirectly, I'm to blame for everything that everyone hates about modern football. Apart from, you know, I can't take the blame for Paul Pogba or his hair or his hashtags. But, you know, people talking about that and getting angry about that on the internet, that's my fault. it's a long time. We were talking about it the other day, weren't we? And, you know, it's been 8 years since we launched Red Men as a YouTube channel. It's nearly 9 years since we filmed the pilot, which was we made it for the club, official club channel. And it's been another couple of years, really, since we started.
So this came about with, was you doing anything like blogging or anything like that beforehand?
No. I come from a media background. I did it at uni. And I was like, it was my hobby, the thing I wanted to do. I just loved making little videos and little sketches and doing little bits and pieces. So I've been doing music videos for local bands and doing a few little, like I say, daft sketches and a bit of stand-up and stuff on MySpace and that at the time. Like, yeah, because YouTube.
Could you even fucking post videos to MySpace?
No, they're all deleted now. that was what I kind of come from, and you know, we. It's just one of those daft things where we've all done it prior to fan TV being a thing. Every one of us of a certain age, because of course now it's a thing and everyone does it. Everyone just does it now. But you know, you'd be watching the footy, whether it was Match of the Day or Sky Sports, or even watching one of the older programs, Soccer AM, and you'd be thinking, oh, I could do this.
Well, 2006, I did a Soccer AM sketch. I did the crossbar challenge. I did it with my troops over in Afghanistan, 2006. I've been on YouTube since 2006, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we went over to watch Liechtenstein play Northern Ireland. We didn't go for that game. We went to help a mate move back home from Liechtenstein. And that game was on, and we went to it, and I took the camera. And funnily enough, me and Chris, who was Redman with me, we did like a film the second half, and we just did like a commentary over the top of the game. I was filming it for this little handy. No one gave a fuck. It was like a World Cup qualifying no mark game. Liechtenstein had about four people there. None of them actually cared about the result. And we were just chatting shit over the top of it and recorded a few little bits and pieces. And I sent a couple of them, because there was that time, there was Soccer was doing that posing thing at the time where you had to do this, like, there was a dance and a pose or something. Yeah, then people just sent it in. And we sent all that stuff into Soccer AM and all that stuff. And that was probably the first footy content we made, so it was probably slightly 2007, maybe, I think we did that kind of stuff. But yeah, you know, everyone would sit in the pub and be chatting with the mates, and you'd be chatting for hours about your team, and you'd just be like, this is boss.
Why is this not a telly show?
Exactly. It's Seinfeld made real, like, and it, you know, and that, but that was what it was. And you know, we had a we had the idea for it, but not the, and just about enough technical knowledge to blag that we knew how to do it. And you know, and then we started doing a few bits, and it was horrendous. We painted a banner, and we went outside the club shop at Liverpool. This is like probably about, again, like 2007, early 2008. And the realization of the things, you know, doing some of the outside stuff, we just didn't know how to do it. Doing vox pops cold is a very, very hard thing to do. Didn't have the studio thing, and it kind of, something we kind of came back to it, until eventually we just, got in the door at LFC TV and said, I've got this idea, do you want to listen to it? And they went, yeah, go ahead. And pitched it to them, and they loved it, and then they went a bit cold for a bit, and then we made the pilot to come back and show them, eventually showed it to them, and they were like, yeah, wow, that's amazing. Does it need two presenters? Does that joke need to be that long? Does it need to be like that? And I was like, oh my God, they just want it to be exactly like all the shit they normally do.
Everything that's already on the channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
So yeah, it never went anywhere.
You made a pilot like what? I think you said it about a year before.
So it was like summer 2009. Probably like late, yeah, it was about 9 years ago, pretty much the day, probably, when we had the, I wrote a treatment up and
just watched United lose in the Champions League final.
We wrote a document, a file out of, not just about the show, The Red Men, as it was just called at the time, about what LFC TV needed to do to better engage with fans, and some ideas of the different show strands that they could do, and how to interact better on social media, and blah, 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 and being naive like I was, took it in, got a meeting with them, sat down and handed these out, and then just slowly but surely over the next 2 or 3 years,
just watch them do it.
Every single one of them ideas just appeared on across the official club stuff, pretty much. So yeah, it was a, but yeah, that was it. Yeah, go on. That was a frigging long time ago.
So what was the push for you to start with Redmen from that then? It's just a frustration that they hadn't done anything with it.
Yeah, well, there was, to be honest, they were a bit crestfallen because we went from being, they were dead positive about it. We can help you out with this, we can get you some players, well, we can do blah, blah, blah.
Anyone
blah,
that's
blah.
Doing this sort of thing, and anyone who's looking at getting into this sort of thing, you're going to have 99 meetings where you come out and go, oh my God, I'm buying a Ferrari next week.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, they get it, they buy it, it's great, you know, and you're thinking, this is it, great, we're going to be on telly within days, weeks, you know, this is fantastic. And then they just stop returning calls, and you know, I was taking time, I was working,
yes guy,
I was working behind the bar, I was working for in a restaurant Chris was managing at the time, like just to keep some, you know, give a roof over my head, and I was taking days off work to go to these meetings, and they were cancelling them, and I basically used up the last of my holiday days on cancelled meetings, and I just got to the point where, as I say, we decided we're going to film a part, so we had something solid, and I just went, listen, we've got it, can we just have 15 minutes to show it to you, and that's what led to that. But then, you know, they turned around and they'd spoken to their advertisers, and they'd said, well, we spoke to the people who sold the advertising on the channel, and they've said, well, people will either love it or will hate it.
Is that what you want?
Panicked. Well, they panicked over it, but that told me everything, and that's an important lesson when you deal with football clubs, is that if they think for a single second there will be anyone who will have an issue with something, then they won't wait. They won't go down that way. They need everything to be as safe as possible. And they did something. I was like, we'll open it up to people like a competition. And I was like, well, this is going to end up as a popularity contest, and we're not known in the Liverpool scene. We don't have mates in this thing, you know. Like, so I was like, well, if that happens, what's the, you know? And so I was like, well, great, we've worked our bollocks off to get a toe in the door, and now you're just opening another door while we've got our foot stuck in here, you know. So any Tom, Dick, and Harry. So we went, fine. We left it, and you know, I had a shit job, and then I had surgery on my shoulder, so I was off work for like 3 months, and I was literally just sat around the house going stir crazy with this disc with this stuff on, and I was like, I had no internet. It probably would have gone up in like the Christmas in the year before, but I had no internet, so I just kind of planned and had some other ideas for another few bits and pieces, and then it came round, and I was like, right, I need to find somewhere to put this. And you know, I didn't really realise YouTube channels were a thing at the time. It was just a place where you watched daft videos.
Yeah,
you know?
It didn't ever seem like there was like, I wouldn't have known any of these guys, like the ones that are in the millions of subscribers now, that was like just uploading YouTube videos of FIFA and things like that. Like, it never even entered my head as that was a potential thing. Literally, when I uploaded the crossbar challenge thing, on that channel, which the channel I still use, all these videos are now privated videos, because like when Jaden was a baby, my mum would upload it, and then I could see the video of Jaden being a baby while I was in Afghanistan and stuff. That's literally what it was used to do. It was to host a video somewhere so you can get the link and then send it somebody else. That was all I ever thought of it. I never thought of like discovery, but I should have, because that Afghanistan video of Soccer AM thing, it did like 10,000 views really quickly, which with no tags or anything on, like it was nothing. It was just, it blew up.
It was a mad whirl, because I remember doing a podcast not long after we'd started, and the lad who was hosting it was like, oh, I'm gutted you've got more subscribers than us. And I was like, I didn't even get it as a concept, you know what I mean? Like, he was aware of the YouTube scene, which I just, again, wasn't aware of it at all. There was just Liverpool. For me, it was always, I wanted to be on telly. I wanted to make something for telly. And this was just a place to just show, get as a proof of concept. So
send people a link, maybe.
Exactly, I could show it to people. Maybe it gets some views. But I never conceived of a place where you put it there and people would actively go to your channel to watch stuff. I mean, I thought I can put it in front of people's eyes and people might see it that way. And then I can take it to TV companies and say, yeah, look, a few hundred people, this amount of hundreds or thousands of people have watched it. It's proof that it's a positive thing. But I never thought about a world where I'd be on 250,000 subscribers or whatever, because again, I wasn't aware of it in that kind of way. But that's what it was. We put it up, and we got horrendously abused by Evertonians for the first like month. Someone, we did this video where Everton had this
YouTube's not changed a bit.
No, Everton changed this, had this pink away kit that summer, and it was the worst thing in the world ever. Horrendous kit. But the video, the unveiling video, was Jack Rodwell, remember him? Like slowly unzipping this tracksuit top, and he opens it and he's got this bright pink shirt on. And we did this sketch, because to be honest, so much of the early stuff was very fancy football, soccer AM inspired. So
sketches.
It was sketches and stuff mainly, you know, a bit of chat, but it was largely scripted. And I did this about this really creepy, campy director who was basically getting off on this idea of Jack Rodwell doing a striptease for him. So we filmed it from like two sides. Like,
how deleted is this video?
It might still be up there somewhere. Like, it's probably within something else, but someone, this fella who was quite big in the Liverpool scene, saw it, loved it, and he got his lad to put it in a load of Everton forums to wind them up, which I didn't know, which is then we got a torrent of like, horrendous abuse from Everton.
Hey, we've got loads of, oh my God.
I actually had to turn the comments off on like the first four new videos we made, because they were just horrendous. They were killing me life. But yeah, that was
and now that's just every Monday.
And
you
that's
go,
just life. I'm just used to it now. Yeah, that's what it is. Those people that mute now. You know what I mean? Those people get hidden from the channel these days. Whereas I know that didn't exist. The thing you live with it, or you turn your comments off. It wasn't too far afterwards that we got to the point. We did a video, and I remember going to work in the morning. And I checked the comments, and they were just horrendous. And I was like, "What am I doing this for? We're making these videos. There's a few hundred people watching them. I like them, but it's just not worth the stick I'm getting. I'm too thin skinned for this. I can't." And then I got back from work about 8 hours later, and I checked the comments, and someone had jumped to our defence against this lad who was giving us stick, and then someone else had jumped on him, and I was like, for the first time we had people who clearly liked us enough to defend us in the comments. And I was like, that was like a major tipping point. I was like, okay, cool. People do like it. I reckon we can keep going with this, basically.
Man, 8 fucking years ago.
Yeah, mate, crazy. Absolutely fucking crazy. I joked at the time that once we got into it, we started to get it running properly, and I could see that it was working, that it was like we broken into this function room, and this massive spread was laid out, and no one else was in there. And, like, you know, we were just kind of going, this is great. Where is anyone else coming to this party? No, we were looking around, scouring, saying, who else is doing this kind of stuff? And like there was no one, you know. It was a few years till Arsenal Fan TV came along, and Devils as well. That was in it. And I just had this feeling that once other people clocked onto it, it'd be amazing. Look, you've seen it now. We we're here. You've got your own studio. I've got my own studio.
It blows my fucking mind. Yeah. That we've. I mean, 3 months ago we moved into here. I mean, now we've got him fucking about over there. We got Will behind the camera. Like, this is insane. Let's say hi, Will. Look, I can't believe how fast this has happened. I mean, 8 years to be an overnight success, essentially, but it hasn't been an overnight success at all. It's been fucking graft, because I think it was probably 2014 I started doing stuff with Devils. Prior to that, I'd done 2 years of like writing blogs, and it's mad the uptake that you get versus you can write a fucking million blogs, but you're a name at the top of a thing that every fucker ignores and reads. Yeah. And then as soon as you get in front of a camera and you start talking, every fucker's got a serious opinion on whether you're good or whether you're shit. There's never anything grey. You're either top or you can just fucking die. How about that?
No, it is. It's an absolutely crazy world. And to be honest, it's mad how it came about for me, because there's a great example. There's a mate of mine, Aubrey, who was on Redmen for years and working behind the scenes and what have you. And he used to say to him, a paraphrase, a quote of his, a mate of his would say, him and a mate, who both wanted to make it big, and one of them was a musician, his mate was a writer director. And it's because they both say, just do it. And he'd say to his mate, who's a guitarist, you can do it. You can play guitar, you can go out right now and you can go and play your guitar and you can earn money from playing your guitar. If you're a writer-director, what are you going to do? You need people to direct. Yeah. You know what I mean? You need money, you need sets, you need people in front of camera, you need a camera, you need all these things. It's a skill set that requires so many other things to drop in. And I was in a similar boat, and that's why I was like, it was just... get a tripod and literally put yourself in front of the camera, and that's just something I can do.
But the barrier to entry on it is extremely low, because
now
for 2 years, probably is more now, yeah, because phones are good now. Yeah, like,
at the time, no, the barrier, like, when you think about it, I mean, video cameras, the cameras we were using 8 years ago, mini DV tapes, so you had to buy your tapes, you had to buy your cameras. So I had a shitty £150 mini DV camera, and it was, you know, I thought it was the bollocks at the time. It was like this, and I thought it was tiny. And but you know, you had to have that, and you had to have the computer to edit it. Whereas like, this is the first season, we went to Rome for the Champions League semi-final, and we didn't take a camera with us. I just did it all on my phone. I filmed it all on my phone, edited it all on my phone, and it's quicker to edit on my phone than it is now to edit on my laptop, which is like amazing. Whereas you start to ingest footage into your computer and do whatever, and that was the trials we faced in those early days.
Where do you think Fan TV sits in amongst the fanzines? Because I find it very interesting, as fanzines are seen as good football culture, and Fan TV is seen as bad football culture. But I know that there's some people from Red Issue, which is one of United's biggest, and it's now defunct, fanzines. They've been quite vocal in the fact that they used to get people coming up to them when they were selling fanzines, like, who the fucking are you? Like, and you're like, it almost warms the heart in a really fucking dark way, as like, oh, these things everyone gets
being,
it.
Now being thought of as absolutely amazing. But look, in terms of culture, the problem is the more accessible your club content is to fans of other teams, the worse it's perceived. So no one in the right mind is ever going to buy a Man United fan. I would never buy a Man United fan. You know, if one was there, but what's the odds of one being there? Because I don't, you know, you'd have to go out your way. There wouldn't be one kicking around.
Well, there's a couple in there, but I don't think you're going to pick one up.
Well, exactly. I wouldn't, you know, and that's me coming specifically here for a specific reason. I would never in the wild stumble upon a copy of, you know, United We Stand or whatever. It was that one, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I literally got Mittens is great. They sell that in a corner shop as well, which, you know, awesome for Mitten, because he's pretty much mainstream. You sell it in amongst the other magazines, they have it on the counter.
But you can't be, people think of that, and it's got like a niche thing, and because it's a bit archaic as well, it's now got a little bit of a nostalgia value, and you know, it's paper, you can smell it, you can hold it, that's weird, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's not cold and clinical and digital, it's got a value.
You can't clip it up and retweet it.
Exactly.
Mostly.
And then what you had was forums. And forums was when people started to get onto this idea. You go into the forum of another set of fan base
and wind them up,
or you could screenshot some horrendously deluded. Like, there was one of Evertonians,
like on Rock.
Nikika Jelovic was going to score more goals than whoever the centre forward.
What was the geezer called? That was going to be better than Ronaldo off Rock. It's one of the famous Rock threads.
God knows, but this is.
Metallic?
Yeah, maybe. Like, sounds about right. Bruno's going to this is the point. Here's the thing. We're all...
Yeah, there's not a guy going, I'm telling you.
Exactly. Because if Metallic's better than Ronaldo. We are all horrendously biased towards our own football clubs, and that's the way you're meant to be. You're meant to sell yourself on the story of your football team. We all sing, by far the greatest team in the world.
Even Middlesbrough.
Right, but this is it. You know, you've got to believe your football team is the best in the world, because if you didn't, why would you bother your arse? Because let's be honest, most of the time your team does not. Your team doesn't win trophies.
Well, we're the two most successful clubs in the UK, and football in the country has been going 135, 140 years. You've got 18, we've got 20, which means for 120 odd years, we won nothing and you fuckers won nothing. So that's the vast majority of what's happened.
Well, this Liverpool have been going for 126 years and we've won 18 league titles and 5 European Cups and all the smattering of other things. By comparison, that's an amazing haul. That's in the top 20 hauls in the history of every club globally. But by and large, we're still, you know what I mean? It's still a bit sparse by comparison to the histories. But this is the thing, is that what's happened with this fan culture, and you know, you've just seen it. Look, the biggest problem we ever had was Vine came along and fucking ruined it for everyone, because you could take, what was it, 8 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever, completely remove all context of what's being said and throw it out there. And we had Chris going viral with the Chelsea Rent Boys thing. If you just looked at him in that video, he's there and he's got his polo on, he's a bit angry in the face, he just looks like a hooligan, he just looks like a footy thug. And he strips away, and then the second he finishes, he goes, Mourinho, He's a world-class manager, though, isn't he? And he got his tactics absolutely spot on today. Fair play to him. And no one ever saw that bit and that.
Oh, mate, there's probably been, I would say, 500,000 views on what City have clipped of me saying wanted Pep Guardiola, which never got said. The context of the clip, which is still out there on Full Time Devils, is he's done this as a manager. But, and they cut it just before the but, and I was like, but I don't think he's got a great record in the transfer market, blah, 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 and I'd rather have Ryan Giggs. Now, that might be a bollocks opinion. it probably was a bollocks opinion.
Should have clipped that one up.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no, but that's the thing, and unfortunately, that's the world we're in now, and we need to see how this develops, of course, because I think what will happen is, to some extent, people will get bored of it. I think fans of other teams, it's just a new thing at the moment. It's a fresh thing. Wow, you can see that. God, look how insane this group of fans.
We're not
they
like that.
Think they're like, no, exactly, but you do because you buy into your own delusion, don't you?
But that's what everyone says is, look at this prick, we're not nothing like that. But there's a prick like that from every single club.
I watched a
video, more from Arsenal,
someone sent me a video of a new Man City fan channel. The guy did like an explanation video at the start saying, people have asked me, is it going to be like one of those other fans? He thought about Arsenal fan TV, like, you know, and he said, is it going to be like this? And that's what it is. There's now like a fear of people doing this kind of thing, and it's a tough world because people are entitled to their opinions. What we're doing, what we're not, because we don't do it exclusively, of course. I think there's more strings to our bows, but it's just a modern day version more of the football phone-in.
Yeah,
you know, because people have always thought football phone-ins were shit, and people have always thought the people on football phone-ins are pricks. Whereas now, the face is there, and that's the scale of what we've got
and
there.
Unfortunately, fan cams. I'm not a big fan of fan cams. No. I don't think, like, I've asked at Full Time Devils for ages, can I do something different? Can I do something where I'm sat down with someone? Like, I want to do that post-match pint or the full-time pint. A full-time pint sounds perfect for Full Time Devils, doesn't it? Like, can I not do that and spend 30, 45 minutes? Let's look at the stats. Let's look at some of the quotes that have come out after the match, and let's digest a match in that sense, rather than being outside a ground with a light in your face and all of these fucking people standing around you.
That's the problem.
Doesn't come across on camera how many people are actually there usually when...
Yeah, but that is the problem. It's underestimated how difficult it is to talk. There's a difference with Mike. If the
mic picks you up, right? But what you can't hear is the conversations going around
you. And the amount of people who shout shit behind you as well at times. Like, you mean, which you've done... But there's a mad difference. If you ever go on Redmen's channel, if there's ever a game where I have to watch it in the studio and I do my match reaction in the studio, my studio match reactions are like 8, 9, 10, 11 minutes long. My outside the match ones are like 2.5 minutes tops, because you just get done. It's a completely different vibe, and it's a completely different skill set in that regard. But the fan cam thing's tough because it's got a value. There's definitely a value to giving people
People like it. It also allows you to bring in new voices, and I think that's the great thing about fan cams and fan TV is that it's meant to be about, you know, from Charlie, the 8, 9, 10-year-old boy, to Ray, the 80-year-old boy, and when you having all them views on, this is what a fan base is about. It's not about me, it's not about Adam, it's not about Dave, it's not about you, it's not about Chris, it's not about those faces that you see. It's literally there, you stand outside the ground. People want to hear from those that they've seen. But it's about having everybody come up and have something that they want to say. But that's the beauty and the horrific thing about it.
The problem with it, though, is that what fan cams have done is that it's created this, it's put this notion in people's heads because they can see the success of them, that is the core to fan TV success. Fan TV should be this, and it should have this at the heart of it at all times.
It's not my favourite thing.
No, I disagree. And I disagree with that. Like I say, I like the story of it, and I like the realistic value to that thing of giving people a platform that wouldn't have had it otherwise. But I think it needs to be better managed. But I think, you know, at the heart of Redmen's always been us being in the studio talking about stuff. We added that stuff on after the fact to give it a bit more. Other channels were built on that, and again, we've never had that viral, that mega viral video. Rent Boys would have been it, but we took that down because we were stupid. That was a stupid mistake we made. I mean, we didn't understand it at the time. We were educated. We've been better people for being educated off the back of it.
I think Andy's blew up because of the Fostrongino vines he was doing, which were create. I think he works for Joe now. I think that guy got a job out of literally just clipping up Andy into all these mad things.
Well, Chris had them as well. That was a thing at the time. But, you know, Arsenal Fan TV had a few of them, and they went massive. And I think from there's people from an outside looking at our industry and going, that makes sense to them because they can see the numbers and they can go, a million views, wow, I can sell a million views, I can get behind that. Whereas unfortunately, I think that will have its day. I think people will always enjoy seeing someone losing their head, whether it's football or whatever. So there will always be
car crash element.
Exactly. Yeah. There'll always be an audience for people being weirdos on the internet, like, you know what I mean, and the people losing their heads and stuff. But at the core of it, fan TV is just going back to the fanzine stuff. It's meant to be niche. It's different between when you've got a club that's got a global fan base like Liverpool or like Man United, like Arsenal. And obviously the ones. You can get big numbers across the board on content like that. But I don't think you're ever going to see those. They're never going to be mega numbers on those club channels because ultimately you're meant to just cater to that audience. You're meant to
the major views of, let's just be honest with ourselves, Arsenal Fan TV. The meme that Arsenal Fan TV became towards the end of Wenger's reign, which is going to be very interesting to see which way that goes now, but the meme that they became wasn't because Arsenal's got the biggest fan base in the world. It was the fan bases of every other fucker going, grab the popcorn, chaos.
I've watched full-time Devils videos. I subscribe to full-time Devils and Arsenal Fan TV, but I don't watch any of the content. No, because why would I? I'm bored of the car crash element of those type of things. And ultimately, the landscape shifted a bit, so a lot of this stuff you catch on in your Twitter timeline has been ripped from someone else, which is something that also needs to be addressed. But you know, I think the world's changed a little bit in that regard, and I hope it does, because I hope it settles down, because I think we've got an amazing industry, and I think it's now become part of football culture. When we started, it was a nightmare because Manchester will be the same, I'm certain of it, but Liverpool were a bit too cool for school.
Oh, absolutely.
Too cool to clap, and we don't like new things. We just had to do it for long enough till people could just accept us, that we'd been there, we became part of the furniture. You know, there's lads now who are 18 who watch our content, who were 10 when we started doing it. They've grown up watching us do our thing, and we're now part of their footballing experience. And there's no reason why, if it's run correctly, it's run right, and it's run with a degree of intelligence that maybe at times we've all lacked in things.
It can become
a proper. That's the beauty of it, though, isn't it?
Is that it's not polished,
yeah,
and it hasn't been scripted, and it hasn't been produced or managed and all that.
No.
Look, Full Time Devils was owned by a production company.
Yeah.
But do you know how many fucking times I've been told, do this? Fucking zero.
Yeah.
Literally, do you think they'd have put half of the videos of me in them if they'd have been like trying to manage anything? Or even Andy's, they probably wouldn't have put them in.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally a judgment call from myself and Adam and from Chris. We're like, sometimes we've had people that, you know, might not have been all there, and we've gone, let's not put that out.
Well, the thing is, and it's where, and I don't want to get into because I know you've got a job to do with them and all that. Like, but there's a difference sometimes. I think, and what I mean by the intelligence, I think, is that it's hard to run, and the mainstream media now as guilty as anyone of doing this is making sure we don't view chase, because I think it's possible to damage the reputation of your football club, and it's possible to make your fans look stupid. Like, I can't tell you how many vlogs I've filmed, or how many post-match, how many great pieces of content that were ruined by Liverpool losing a game of football that never saw the light of day because there was no value to that. I was making content for Man United fans by putting that out, that kind of thing. And that's why I think there needs to be, you can't just throw anything out. It can't be. It can be raw. It can be edgy. But we've reached a stage now, for better or for worse, that it is becoming an institution.
Well, yeah,
if we
somebody's
want this stuff to live
some
long.
Some fuckers watching every single video you do and every video I do. I know for a fact, waiting for you to say something stupid and go, there we go, clip that bit out, and there we go, and we're going to remove all context and make you look a cunt. That's just the nature of the game at the moment. Like I said, I don't know how long that's going to last for. It probably will evolve, and there'll probably be a new app that everyone decides, and this is the new way we're going to make everyone look a dickhead.
The thing that's important for me, and I'm sure you have it the same, is that I have to walk around the streets of Liverpool
Yes, because there's not everybody that has to do that, and I think that's a huge difference.
And that's the thing. I have to go to Tesco's. I have to go shopping. I have to take my kids out. I've got to take my kids to school. You know, I don't want to put stuff out there that I don't agree with, and stuff that I think paints Liverpool in a bad light. Because, like I say, I love my football club, and I love my city, and I love being able to live in that city.
Yeah, you know, and go to match.
And go to match, and that's for free. And, you know, there was a guy at the Man City quarter final. We were at the Etihad, is it there? The Etihad, that was it. The fella behind me and I was filming.
Great.
And to be fair, we were with the XO lads as well. And Chris was, so there was basically like three of us effectively out of four. Filming at the match, and he clearly was getting a bit of the huff about it. And as I was filming, suddenly
I think we spoke about this before.
And he kicked off at me, and I got a bit. And he said, like, I don't want to be on your show. You should be watching the game. You should be supporting. And I was like, mate, I haven't stopped singing for the whole time. I don't take my eyes off the game. I'm not supporting my team. But anyway, I had a bit of a think about it, and I chatted to him at half time. Just said, look, mate, I support my team the way I support it, and blah blah blah. And I think he kind of went. Okay, yeah, I get it, and we had that. That's the worst I've ever had, really, in that regard.
The vlogging at the game is something that I'm not a huge fan of. Obviously, I've done it, and I'm a massive hypocrite because it's not something I'm a huge fan of. And I have done it, and the times I would do it is like the semi-finals, because some of those vlogs, the finals and the semi-finals, this year's final, I'm probably not going to watch that one again, but last year's final, it's fucking great to look back on it and to know that you've got that sort of stuff.
There's part of me where I don't like the... I find it really uncomfortable with the camera on, because I'm aware that there's people around me. I'm okay now that I've been doing it for that long, and everyone who's around my seat and ticket knows me and knows what I do. And I think they buzz off the fact that largely because I don't put any shit out, it's just them celebrating when Liverpool score goals.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've kind of, you know, they're kind of chuffed.
I have the same sort of thing with Stratford End, actually.
They have their kind of their moments of, they're in those big moments for Liverpool.
That being a dickhead the rest of the time.
Yes. Yes. But this is the thing, is that I don't like the people who go and just, it's put on. I think if you're overthinking your reactions, more often than not, I'm more into filming the crowds and whatever.
Yeah, if you're vlogging, I think you've got to... If you're doing the vlog for a channel like Redmen or Devils, the way we do it, my approach to it is, I'm showing the people who aren't lucky enough to be here what I'm seeing. Yeah. It's not about me. Like, yeah, we'll talk to the camera and they want those reactions, but here's what I'm seeing. And that's what I want to put out there. And like when me and Dave have done it, I have less of an issue doing it at the foreign games, which is probably mega hypocritical of me. Not like Champions League games. I'm talking like when we've been to Leipzig or Bilbao and stuff like that. I am being a tourist, and I am unapologetically being a tourist and fucking filming everything. Probably some guy like in a foreign accent just going, fuck's sake, look at this dick.
You're the guy who turns up to Old Trafford with the selfie stick and he's got...
Oh, there's no selfie sticks.
City United t-shirt on.
There's absolutely none of that shit neither. But yeah, I mean, I know I'm probably... There's someone... But actually, when you speak to... I mean, because I do think, like you said, Liverpool fans are too cool for school. United fans are too cool for school. That's the attitude a lot of the time. Not fucking singing, mate. I'm just standing here with my hands in my pockets. I'm well cool. There's a lot of that going on. Whereas I think when you go to... Especially, like, we haven't been to Barcelona, we haven't been to Madrid, we've been to Leipzig and Bilbao and Celtic, and you go, and they go, what the fuck are you doing here? And you go, I'm here to watch the footy, especially CSKA. When I went to CSKA and I started talking to people, they were buzzing that I was filming it. CSKA put my vlog on their homepage.
Really?
Yeah, and it's ended up on like 30,000 views, and I'm like, how the fuck did that happen? And then I found out, oh, they put it on their homepage, and they've gone like, an English dickhead came to the match. Basically, here you go, like, there's the vlog. And I actually... They must have just found it in there, I think. All right, no, because it comes across, doesn't it, on the camera most of the time. But I think that actually you get more... I think it's probably an English thing that we just don't like filming
ourselves. Well, because we've got this... I think... Because that's the thing for me is people see a phone out at the match and they think tourist, and they think you think half and half scarves, they think not support, they think you're a day tripper and you don't know the songs and blah blah blah, whereas then you start belting out, and it's often people who actually aren't the ones who sing all game long, they're the ones who are too arse, they spend too much time fuming at people not doing it the way they think it should be done to actually do it the right way themselves. Like, but no, I'm buzzing with it, like, and it's been a massive slog, not a slog I would ever recommend to anyone. I mean, the difference is that it's loads easier now, the barrier to entry has...
Well, I was just going to say that, do you think if someone was starting up a Sheffield Wednesday channel, now the pickup's going to be a lot easier than it would have been.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I'm passionate. It's why I love the doing the Ball Street stuff, is that I'm totally behind. All everyone's told me over the years, and the people who've tried to buy Red Men or buy into Red Men or tell us that we need to buy into them or whatever, and everyone's just like, the top four, the top six, do that. Oh, it's just all Real Madrid and Barcelona. It's like, nah, I'm convinced that, you know, every football club, because every football club can support a fanzine to some extent, they can support a forum, they can support a fan TV channel of some description. Look, it's never good.
Look at fucking Jordy. A lot of what he did was on the back of being a Newcastle fan. Now, he wasn't a channel, he didn't cater for that, but he was just a guy that's a Newcastle fan, so why can't an Aston Villa fan do that?
Yeah, exactly, and there's that, but you know, you can do two. You see individuals on YouTube, because YouTube is very individual centric, but I think, you know, there's no reason why, like, you know, West Ham Fan TV are killing it, Toffee TV are doing a great job as well. You know, again, people, these conversations that I was having with my mates about Liverpool, it's irrelevant that I was talking about Liverpool. Those conversations are happening in every city.
Oh, yeah,
every
Derby, and Nottingham, all these places, exactly. Regardless of the stature of the club. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's whether or not that the volume of views and all the rest of it's coming in is going to make it relevant. But again, like I said, Jordy is the prime example. The guys, you know, him and Spencer are essentially the two biggest viewed. I mean, Spencer's maybe more FIFA orientated, but if you just talk about the pure opinion type stuff, it's pretty much Jordy. And he's, you know, let's be honest with ourselves, a fucking one of the most insular fan bases I imagine there is, Newcastle.
Yeah.
It's Newcastle.
They've got about four fan channels and they all hate each other, I think. That's the way it's gone.
Is that how it's, I believe so. I've not really dipped my toe into that world at all.
But this is the thing, is that, you know, everyone will try it, and there'll be loads of people who have a go at it because it is loads easier. But the trick is, the good ones are the ones that are passionate about the medium. They care about their, not to get a bit over the top on it, but the art of it, you know what I mean? They love the process of what they're making. It's not just about saying words at a camera. Growing your production value, ultimately having a laugh and loving doing it, and that translates. People like watching content that people have fun making. And as you know, there's enough numbers in almost every one of the, let's say, the 92 footy teams to sustain a fan TV channel of some description. And we're moving to the world with more and more niche content. You're seeing Patreon, you're seeing other variations on paywalls. People are moving towards niche content, paying for content that they want to watch. They're fucking the Sky TV off and they're getting involved with this kind of stuff. And I think, you know, like I say, we'll see a world not too far from now where every major football club has got their own sustainable equivalent, which would be amazing.
I'm arguably a couple, arguably, I would have thought. But I think I'm very much of the same sort of thing as you, because obviously you, it was a big part of Red Men. You've moved into doing your own stuff, which is pretty niche on a lot of the levels. It's not what you'd expect after time, but you make content for you, and I like that. And I make content for me. Like, some of my best ever videos, arguably one was my Bilbao video. It's done about 2,500 views. It cost me in excess of 1,500 quid to make.
Yeah.
To go, it flew me and Dave over to Bilbao, spend a couple of days there, match tickets. I probably made less than £1 in terms of the money back from YouTube. I make content because I want to make it. The Munich documentary that I made, which I think is hands down the best thing I've ever made, to the point where I think I probably can't do any more content about the Munich disaster because I'm not going to better it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to better it. There's no way, unless I can bring in Bobby Charlton, I'm making a better fucking video. It's not happening. So I just think you have to make that content for yourself. You make the content for yourself, you're going to be fucking happy with it.
That's it. You know, that's the thing, because ultimately it is a grind, it is a slog, and you know, everyone will tell you along the way. Again, all this, I'll preface this, all this is slightly easier now because these things are more established, but people thought I was a lunatic at the time. Like, you mean, I remember back, we took a £5,000 loan out to build the website, or Chris did, I should say, and
that's bananas now, on its own.
Yeah, and everyone turned around. I remember being at a wedding in the weeks before the website was due to launch. It was committed, the money was spent, and people literally calling people over from across the room
to laugh at
to go and look at what he's doing. Absolute lunacy.
Like you'd been saying, listen, I'm going to import heroin through scaffolding tubes. Honestly, that's what I'm going to do. And people are like,
well, yeah,
it's a bit.
Well, a few of them have apologized to me since then. Like, so,
fair fuck.
But this is what it is, you know, and that's what you've got to be prepared for. And yeah, it's. I could never recommend it because it's. Like I say, there must be far easier ways to make a living out of football or media or whatever. But we've done what we've done, and the party seems to be getting bigger and bigger.
Right, I think we'll call it a day there. I'm not going to tell you to go and subscribe to Redmen, because I'm not going to do that to you, but I will say go and subscribe to MHTV. I will put the link in the description. So Paul, thanks for joining us, mate.
No, absolutely.
I'll see you in the next one. Laters.